To the angel of the church of Sardis, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, talking about the messenger. Strong's exhaustive concordance said it is implying a pastor. So one who shepherds, same word. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. Jesus said, all power, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Church, you are to go in that authority and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, I will be with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Revelation 18:2, and he, this mighty messenger, this pastor, this angel, cried mightily with a strong voice. Now, that doesn't just mean that he shouted or he raised the voice up and broadcast it further by yelling or whatever. The strong voice means this is a true and powerful revelation from God. Excuse me a minute. I get a dry throat. I don't want to start coughing. Babylon, he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now, Babylon, according to the scripture, is the mother of harlots. We see that in chapter 17 of the Revelation, verse number 5. It says, he carried me away in the spirit, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Excuse me, coughing in the aura. So we see that the harlot church is associated with the harlot government system, Babylon. It is reprobated and turned from God. It's not any longer ruling for the glory of God, and the harlot church is associated with it. When you get harlot religion and a fallen government coupled together, you will have a lot of problems on your hands. And being a Christian in that kind of circumstance and situation is a very difficult thing. That's how it was when the Lord Jesus came. Israel had apostatized. There wasn't a single scribe or chief priest. Even though they could tell Herod where the child was to be born, not a one of them went with the wise men to see their Messiah. They had no concern. That's what we have in America today, dear friend. We have religion on every corner of our nation. Churches everywhere, so-called churches. And so it's those people that have a form of godliness, but have denied the power thereof. They will not walk with Christ. They want their religion to be like fire insurance, to put out the fire of hell and to show everybody how glorious they are. They think if they can just hold up a Bible, everybody will think they're Christians. But that's not the way that it is. So this scarlet-colored beast, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17:3, full of the names of blasphemy, with 7 heads and 10 horns. So she's got a multiplicity of names, multiplicity of powers, and it reveals all the different kinds of religions that there are in the world today. God's church is symbolized by a virgin, one woman, his bride, one. Jesus Christ did not come to start religions. He came to bring back the glory of God within the fallen race of Adam. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we think that, well, we got to be involved with a religion. Well, if you get involved with religion and you don't have Christ, you are involved with the scarlet-colored beast, the whore church, and with Babylon, the fallen government of this world. So it says in verse 5 of chapter 17, and upon her forehead was a name written. This is going to identify her. Mystery. People don't understand. You can be involved with a church and be involved with religion, be involved with the scriptures, and still die and go to hell. You can go to hell from off of a church bench. It's not come unto the church and join the church and be baptized. Jesus said, come unto me. It is a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. Nothing else is true salvation. So mystery, Babylon the Great. It's not great because it's of some kind of pure and noble makeup. It's great because people make it great. They bow down to it. They adhere to it. Babylon the Great. But listen, the mother of harlots. Every harlotry in the world comes from this fallen religious association with fallen government. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So everything comes out of her. It's like a somebody pouring poison in a beautiful clear stream flowing down and pours poison up at the headwaters. It begins to filter on down and poisons everything and every tributary whether it flows. After these things, I saw another angel, Revelation 18:1, come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Dear soul, listen. People are having warm, fuzzy feelings. They're getting excited about getting excited in religion, and they don't understand that those things are given to them by Satan. The majority of religion in America today is carried on by demons in the emotionalism of the people. He said, make dead your inordinate affections. What does that mean? Affections that go beyond the limit. Oh, when she hits that high note, it just put chills up and down my spine. You better be careful. You get excited about getting excited. That's a good way to convince yourself that you are right, and therefore you let down your guard and you wind up hearing Jesus say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That wasn't me. That wasn't God. That wasn't worship. That wasn't true religion. He says, Babylon the Great is fallen and become the habitation of devils. You remember that demon that was cast out of that man? And the man then began to get his life straightened out. He got a good case of morality, but he never did get any righteousness. So he got his house all straightened out, himself, his habits. He quit doing those things that were bad and started doing those things that were good. But he didn't get filled with the Spirit of God. He didn't get Christ in his heart. He just got a case of the do-betters. He turned over another leaf. You can turn over the whole forest. It won't do you any good. You need Christ to dwell within you. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. So this one man had this one demon, and he went out of it. And the demon came back and said, I'm going to check and see how everything's going over there. Have you ever gone back and look at the house where you used to live? That's what this demon did. And he went back and he looked at the man and he said, there ain't nobody in there. He's empty. There's no Holy Spirit in him. He just got a case of morality. So he said, hey, boys, come on back. I want to show y'all something. And seven more demons came back, more powerful than the first one was. And the Bible said the latter end of that man was worse than the beginning. So after the gospel came, it didn't have any effect on him as far as spiritual salvation. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He was not made alive by the power of Christ's resurrection in his heart. He was not a new creature in Christ Jesus. He just got a good case of morality. And so the demon came back and said, I'm going to check that out. And this says this is according, as Peter says, to the proverb, the dog has returned to his vomit and licked it up again. An old dog will get sick and throw up and go on his way, and then he comes back and he sees that same vomit. He said, that's my food. And he licks it up again. And the sow has returned to her wallowing in the mire. You know why? Because she's a sow. She is a pig. That's what pigs do. What's wrong with that dog and that sow? Their nature. It's their nature. They didn't have their nature changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, dogism and sowism, if you'll allow me to coin those words, have passed away. They are now a sheep. They, sheep don't do that. Sheep do not act like pigs and dogs. So we see, dear soul, this has become the habitation of devils, demons, because the gospel has come and it's only made him have a reformation. He has just been reformed. He needs to be reborn. He needs to be born from above. He needs to be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. But he didn't go that far. Religion is dangerous, dear soul, unless Christ is your religion. Babylon the Great is fallen, and to become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know what the birds did after the seed was sown? When the good ground did not fall into the good ground, the birds came and scooped it all up. The devil will destroy the word, the effectual word of God, out of the human heart if you do not come to the person of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the letter of the law killeth. 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 3 and verse 6. I'm not sure. Anyhow, the letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that quickeneth, that maketh alive. So we need to have the word of God get a hold of us and change us and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 3, Revelation 18. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, to whom did the Lord Jesus say his disciples were to go and preach the gospel? Preach the gospel to every creature. Go out unto all nations. Matthew 24:14 said, it's only after every nation has heard the gospel for a testimony shall the end come. So the segment of evangelism is nations. Go from Jerusalem to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. And you go from one nation to another. And the nations have been brought the gospel from the east all the way around to the western shores of the United States of America. And here we are. Where does it go now? America has turned its back on God. We might as well take those words off of our coins. In God we trust. We don't. We trust in the money that those words are printed on, but not in God. We might as well, dear soul, quit saying that we are a Christian nation. We're not. We are a religious nation, but that religion is not with Christ. It's with demonic imitations. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The nations have drunk the wine. They have now got a warm feeling within them. Put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, oh, what a good boy am I. Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm all right. It feels good. It's all nice and warm and fuzzy. But it's fornication. That's what it is. Jesus spoke through James. James said, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that fellowship and friendship with the world is enmity against God? to be involved with the world and not be involved with Christ alone is spiritual adultery. And they've committed fornication by getting drunk on her wine. Oh, I feel so good when I go to church. Dear soul, if you're hearing the gospel, you ain't feeling good. You're feeling like a sinner. You're being made to understand and know that you are without God and without hope in this world, and you need to flee to Christ. The gospel is that which makes you see yourself as you really are, not make you feel warm and fuzzy, all nice and comfortable, and oh, we had a good cry, you know, and we just enjoyed old Lady Long Tongue hitting that high note in Just As I Am or Amazing Grace. It was so good. Don't know God from third base. That's the mess we're in. It's because they drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Listen, and the kings of the earth, human government, have committed fornication with her. They've involved themselves with religion in order to get more votes, in order to be able to have the authority and power to steal everything they can while they're in authority and power. They do all they can to stay right with the church, and they live like the devil, but they act like they're the saints of God. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It's unbelievable, dear friend, how much commerce there is in churchianity. It's unreal. We were down in New Orleans years and years ago and went to Jackson Square. Quite a sight to see. And great big, huge Roman Catholic church there. And I said, I think I'll go in there and just see what that's all about. I've been a Southern Baptist all my life till God saved me, and then I'm just a Christian. But I went in there, and the first thing you see when you go in is a gift shop. I said, well, we never had anything like that. I'm going to go in there and see what that's all about. And I went in there, and there was all these necklaces. Of course, that's what I thought they were. But they said, no, they're rosaries. And I said, oh, well, they sure are pretty. They said, yeah, they're made of fine materials. And I said, how much are they? And it was like around $200. What? And up. I couldn't believe it. They've made themselves rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And so it's amazing, dear soul. And one of the first things Jesus did, and he did it on two occasions, was to drive all the money changers out of the temple. You say, well, they needed money changers. Why? Because the city boys didn't have any sheep and oxen and goats and pigeons and so forth to offer as a sacrifice. The country boys would come in with their livestock, and they'd set up their stalls, and they'd sell you an animal for blood sacrifice. And so it turned out to be more of commerce and less of communication with God. And he drove them out and said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. That's what he's talking about. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. People will make money off of anything they can make money off of. It doesn't matter if it's church. It doesn't matter how holy it's supposed to be. It matters, can I make a dollar off of it? And dear soul, listen. The love of money is the root of all evil. Every evil there is comes from the love of money. Not money. Abraham was rich. But he wasn't a sinner. He wasn't a vain, sinful man. He had plenty of money, but he didn't love it. The love of money is the root of all evil. And dear soul, when we get these politicians who want to be senators and congressmen and vice presidents and presidents and all that, and they say, oh, I'm going to do good. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to be like them people in Washington. As soon as they sign on the dotted line after they are elected, bam, first thing they start doing is trying to see how much money they can make. And leaving out the people that voted for them. Dear soul, it's unbelievable what a mess we're in our nation today. So we see they have waxed rich through the abundance of the harlot's delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Didn't say that it was another angel. Didn't say that it was a different person speaking. It just said another voice. Dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. This command that we have in Revelation 18:4 is just as much to be obeyed by us that say we're Christians in this world today in 2021 as it was when it was written. Come out of her, my people. You say, well, you know, that don't really mean separate from her physically. It doesn't exclude that. This old once God got religion out of me, he got me out of religion. Once he got Egypt out of Moses, he got Moses out of Egypt. And then he was only ready and available and qualified to go back in and get God's people out. So it needs to come out of you. Harlot religion, warm fuzzy feelings. And have you yet asked yourself, why is it that God has our churches shut down today with this COVID pandemic? Can it be because you were worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator? Can it be that you receive more comfort from attending religion than you did attending Christ? How is your personal prayer life? How is your personal worship? Do you need to come to a building with a steeple on top and a pulpit up front and a man in a suit preaching at you from a black book to be able to say, I have worshiped God today? Do you need to have that bulletin say, worship service, our form of worship? That ain't worship. Dear soul, listen, we have laid asleep in the devil's arms so long that we think that that church and church attendance and association with a organization is salvation. It's not. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto the person of God. That's where salvation is. There is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved, other than the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you this. Are you considering yourself right now, sitting there maybe in front of your computer watching this, sitting there maybe in front of your television watching this, sitting there maybe, you know, I doubt you put on a shirt and tie to do it. Well, a lot of us quit doing that before we got busted up. But do you have the same assurance that God is with you and you are with God in this present separated circumstance because of the COVID pandemic? Is God still your comforter? Is he still your advocate? Do you still have the assurance that you shall be able to stand before Almighty God in the hour of judgment and be allowed to come into the joys of the Lord? Do you still have the same assurance that you will never hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, when you stand before Almighty God in the hour of judgment? Are you still assured that your seat will be on the right hand with the sheep and not on the left hand with the goats? And you won't hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Has being separated from churchanity separated you from Christianity. Is Christ still yours riding down the road when you are allowed to get out? Is Christ still yours today in the same assurance of faith as he was when you were able to hear the congregation all sing together, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? And dear soul, it's quite a different world not being able to hear those songs of the church. It's quite a different world now that we are not able to hear brothers and sisters pray and brothers and sisters sing. Brothers pray and brothers and sisters sing. It's quite a different world. Has it affected your personal assurance of faith? Do you still have the same God that you had when you were able to go to that particular place at that particular time in those particular clothes and meet with those particular people to do those particular things that we call worship? Dear soul, we need to understand that God has given us opportunity to check up on our salvation. And we need to understand and know the just shall live by faith. That's how it is. It doesn't say the just shall live by religion. It said the just shall live by faith. And dear soul, there's not always that blessed assurance as far as, you know, being absolutely convinced that everything's right between you and the Lord. Sometimes it seems that God's a million miles away. Do you have assurance in your heart? If you do, it's only by faith. And this old faith brings with it a peace. And when you have that peace, you know what peace feels like? It feels like nothing. Is everything all right with you? Well, how do you discern and define all right? Is everything all right? You say, well, I'm down here at the emergency room. That's not what I asked. Is everything all right with you at the emergency room? Well, I'm down here at the funeral home. That's not what I asked. I'm asking you, is God able to take care of you in this day of the absence of performing religion as much as you felt like he was able back yonder when you could bunch up together and sing blessed assurance together? When it's just you and Jesus, is it the same confidence of faith that it was when it was you and all that gang over there that you call your church? God have mercy. Listen. And I heard another voice again from heaven, same as the first voice. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, for two reasons. Number one, that you be not partakers of her sins. This is talking about church. This is talking about religion. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. And number two, that you receive not of her plagues. Wow. God said, come out of her, my people. What does that tell you? It tells you that there are those of God's people that are in Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It tells you that you can be invested with religion, and that you can be so caught up with religion that you don't realize that you are involved in the mother of harlots. Jeremiah 51 and verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It means what it says. It said, go out from the midst of her in Jeremiah 51. It said, come out of her, my people, in Revelation 18 and verse 4. It says that you're not to be involved in the things of harlotry in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. I'll have to look at it so I can say it right. It says that your bodies are members of Christ, and your body is the temple of the Lord. You're bought with a price, and we are not to associate ourselves with fellowship with those who are not of God. Come out from among them. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore, come out from among them, 2 Corinthians 6:17, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, what if I do touch the unclean thing? Then he will not receive me. Touch not any unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Because what kind of agreement does the temple of God, those who are truly God's people, have with idolatry? And it said, what concord, what agreement together hath Christ with Satan, with Balaam, with ungodly people? You can't stay involved in that. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? A man that doesn't believe. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You are. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. Therefore, God dwelling in you, you are his temple. And I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because of that, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Now, we understand and know without doubt that I can't physically come out from the presence of everyone who is a hypocrite. I have had to leave churches. I have had to relieve religious orders. I have had people who were not walking with God taken away from me and taken away from that place where I was attempting to worship God. But this is not just talking about physically coming out. It's talking about, yes, if that's necessary to do it, then if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Whatever you need to do, you need to get away from this. And this old America is now fallen. The spirit of God is being withdrawn from us. We are seeing that ungodliness reigns in our streets, in our leaders. It is unbelievable in our preachers and in folks who call themselves Christians. We need to be careful. You are supposed to be a temple of the living God for God to dwell in. Then you can't bring that which is within you, the living God, into fellowship with ungodliness. It can't be. So we need to understand that we may not be able to physically come out from the presence of all association with religion. You've got to live in the world. But you need to come out from it in your heart. To purify your hearts and minds, to get out of that carnal association with churchianity. So we see that this is what God has told us. He says, my people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. God is angry. His wrath is falling. It's been falling on America for quite some time. People can't see it. They just go on about their business and don't think anything's any different. That's what happened to Noah's bunch. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Too late then. The judgment had hit and had already was already taking them away before they realized that they were living in immorality and were separated from God. My word. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of sins and plagues. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Here's what they prayed, if they were really truly God's people. Lord, reward her, the harlot church, even as she rewarded you. Reward her double unto her double, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. Let me get it right. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That right there is the deception that's coming upon church members. That right there is that which is tempting and wooing true Christians to stay involved with this harlot system. Dear soul, because she says, can't anything happen to me? Oh, I see the pandemic, but I ain't going to wear no mask. I am not going to be afraid of it. And the God who sent this on America, he's not going to let it happen to me, because I don't believe God has sent it on America. I believe the devil did that. You got one too many gods. Is not the devil God's servant? Can the devil do anything except God give him ability and permission? Did not he say to the devil, have you not considered my servant Job? And the devil said, I can't get to him. You got him hedged up. God said, okay, I'll remove the hedge back and it's okay for you to touch his possessions to start with. So the Bible said, is there evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? You need to wake up and see that God is sovereign over everything. Well, I'm going to grab this verse over here and say, it shall not come nigh me. Okay, you grab that verse. What good would that have done to Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross? It was God's will for his son to suffer. And you say you are a son or a child of God? Then how come it's not God's will for you to suffer with him? Paul said the only way I'm going to get to know him any better is in the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, but we don't suffer. We're so holy we don't have anything bother us. Our bank accounts are to stay full. Our children are supposed to stay healthy. Nothing is supposed to touch us. I said it's queen. That's what the harlot church said. This is the spirit of the harlot system. It shall not come nigh me. I got a verse. This old Jesus is the word, and it came nigh him. You need to be careful. This is demonic deception. 2 Thessalonians says, because they receive not the love of the truth. God, not the devil, God shall send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. Think about it. It didn't say because they did not receive the truth. The chief priests and the scribes in Jerusalem had the truth. They turned to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and the king said, where is he going to be born? They said, in Bethlehem of Judea. But how many of them went with him? How many of them went with the wise men? None. That's the situation in America today. We got Bibles. We got Bible memorization classes. We can quote you scripture, but we can't live it. And we say, I got the word. I said it's clean. Ain't nothing going to hurt me. Dear soul, let me tell you something. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. What does that mean? It means he had everything and anything he wanted and more. And he had Lazarus sitting outside of his gate full of sores, passed him every day. His chariot, his carriage threw dust all over the poor man. Never gave him anything. Never thought about him being like that. Oh, that's them. This is us. You better be careful of us, because God didn't let him know anything about how bad his situation was, because of his bank account, because of his clothes closet, because of his table and how much he had to eat, and because of his influence in community, in society, and how many people thought well of him, until he got to hell. And it said, in hell, he lift up his eyes. First time the man ever thought beyond himself. The Pharisee said, I thank thee that I am not like this publican. The publican smote his breast where the problem lay and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Dear soul, you keep on in your religious arrogance. I said it's clean. Listen. She has said in her heart, I said it's clean. I am no widow. I got a husband. I got a man. I'm not without companionship. And I shall see no sorrow. Bam! That's when it hits him. The Bible said, while the flesh was in their mouth, God sent leanness to their soul. Dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. Christianity, better change that word. Religion and the scriptures have ruined you, and you think that nothing can touch you because you got this idea in your head. God won't let anything hurt me. Didn't Paul write a letter to Timothy and say, bring me my coat, I'm freezing in this jail. Rats and roach bugs running across his foot. Have you not ever read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? Some of them were sawn asunder. They took a saw and cut them in two while they were alive. They had horrible things happen to them. And you sit there and say, I'm better than they are. I'm better than Jesus Christ. God let him suffer on the cross, but he ain't going to let me do it. I said it's clean. You got that from the harlot church. That's the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You've been made drunk in thinking that nothing can hurt me. Get out of her. Get that out of you. Come out of her, my people. It may very well be that you are one of the people of God. But you better get that kind of thinking out of your head and understand, just because it's not one of your children's down there in the intensive care ward, their soul with COVID-19, doesn't mean that you're right with God. Our little old county hospital, Fayette Piedmont Hospital, started off with just very few, 9 or 10 COVID patients. We got 140 now, last count I had. It's unreal. Neighbor came over and said, I wasn't worried about COVID. It wasn't anywhere around me. He said, but now I am, because somebody in our church got it. We have reports of 3 different churches where COVID, that we are in relationship with, that we know about, that have COVID broke out in their church. Oh, my soul. All this time, all religion has done is make a hypocrite out of you. and you think you're better than God, you're better than Jesus Christ, you're better than the Apostle Paul, and nothing's going to hurt you. The Bible said that's the voice and the heart of the harlot church. Babylon, the mother of harlots. Therefore, listen. Here's what's going to happen if you don't get that out of you. If you don't come out of her, my people. Revelation 18 and verse 8. Therefore, shall her plagues, that's more than one, that's plural. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. You better make sure Jesus ain't just your buddy. You better make sure that God just ain't your friend. You better make sure that you're related to Him as a sinner, repentant, and crying out to God for mercy. If you think God is your buddy, you're in trouble. We're not on the equal with God. We are sinners. And we have sinned and come short of His glory. We need to come before God in humble repentance and submissiveness. And cry out to God, Lord, if 1,000 fall at my side or 10,000 at my right hand, I pray that whatever happens to me will be according to Your will. Lord, let me not fool myself by thinking that I said it's queen, nothing can hurt me, and thereby miss the glories of Your presence in eternity. But Lord, whatever it takes, if I have to get COVID in order to come to the Lord, the man had to go to the hog pen to be able to come back to the Father. Whatever it takes, however how low I have to get, don't let me miss fellowship with You. You don't have that attitude. You are of the harlot church. Come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, and receive not her plagues. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. In verse number 9, it gives us an amazing statement. In Revelation 18:4, it said, come out of her. You need to learn to walk with Christ, period. Not learn to walk with others who say they're walking with Christ. But you need to walk with Christ no matter what others do. Come out of her, my people. My people. If you're going to be my people, you need to come out of that. Get it out of your heart. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 9, it says, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. What if I don't come out of her? Well, you associate yourself with all those other guys. God said, I will break you to pieces. I'm jealous. I told you in the very beginning, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. You're not going to say, I love Jesus, sign your pledge card, get baptized, and jump in there, and then throw God aside as far as your mind is concerned. Never think about Him, never desire Him, have no love for Him. You just have love for the warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you associate yourself with those people, quote, down at the church house, unquote. God said, come out of her, Revelation 18:4. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9, if you don't, and you associate yourselves, O ye people, ye shall be broken in pieces. And friend, that's God's shall. That's God's shall. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Why does it say that twice? Because God's warning you. A double warning. You keep on just wanting to be around other people and say, that's when I feel like I'm saved. That's when I feel like I'm all right with God. We just swap real, religious little catchy phrases, and we get all excited about these little phrases that we can text one another. You don't know God from third base. Verse 10. Go ahead. Take counsel together. It shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. Dear soul, I woke up one morning after having been baptized and a member of the church for 7 years. And the Holy Spirit was kind enough and good enough to me to show me that I was a wretched, ungodly, lost sinner. It scared me to death, and I'm glad it did. For God showed me that my churchianity did not at all match up with my Christianity, with His Christianity. And God saved me, and I came with fear and trembling. Blessed are they that mourn. Have you mourned lately over your sin? For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. That's Isaiah 8 and verse 11. Saying, what does this people say? By the way, who are this people? He tells you, in verse number 14, they are the house of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do you know who put Jesus on the cross? It was the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The nation of Israel could not at that time execute any man, no matter what crime they committed. The reason they could not is because they had been conquered and invaded by the Roman government. The only way that they could get Jesus to be killed was to try to persuade Rome to do the killing for him, because Rome was the only one who had the authority to execute anybody. So the harlot church, Judaism, the chief priests and scribes, they had to persuade Pilate to give the order to crucify him, to execute him. And how did they do it? Pilate said said to him, "This man says he's the king of the Jews." And the leading legal authority in Israel, the chief priests, they spoke for the people. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." Bam. That's when the lights went out. It's like Congress speaking for all the population of this nation. And whatever they legislate and say, that's the law. So the chief priests were the authoritative group in Israel. And when they said something, it was the law, and it went for the entirety of the nation. And they said, "We have no king but Caesar." That's when God said, "That's it." And they told Pilate, they said, "If you don't execute this man," and listen how they did it, how cunning they were, "you're not Caesar's friend." When they said that, Pilate said, "Uh-oh, I don't want any trouble out of these Jews turning Rome against me. And I don't want them saying that I'm not Caesar's friend." So he signed the order, and Rome did Israel's dirty work. So, you need to be careful. You should not walk in the way of this people. You should not associate yourself with this people. You need to understand, I don't need to take guns and flags and so forth and invade the capital of this nation, be able to do this. What I need to do, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. What are they? Prayer and faith, trusting in the Lord. I don't stand against America as a rebel. I stand against sin. I stand against Satan. I come out from organized religion. And I am a rebel against all that stand against God. But I am a true citizen of the kingdom of God. My citizenship is in heaven. I've been born into that kingdom. But I am a true American. I love this country, but I will not follow this country at the expense of being able to follow Christ. Dear soul, listen. If the lion's den or the fiery furnace threatens us unless we cast off Christ, stick out your hands and let them put the handcuffs on. That's when you can stand against the nation, is when they insist that you stand against Christ and you give him up. You can't do that. Then let the Lord take care of it. Listen. For the Lord spoke thus with me, to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say not a confederacy. Let's bunch up and get a bunch of us together. To all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Well, if we don't, you know, band together and march on Washington. Well, no, wait a minute now, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ did not raise himself against religion raise himself against human government in his day. He was truthful with them. He said, you could have no power against me unless it was given thee from above. So I'm bowing to that which is given you from above and not to you. The powers that be, the authorities that be, are ordained of God, Romans 13 says. So we need to be careful, dear soul, that we walk only with God. But we cannot be rebels and involving ourselves in conspiracies against human government, because that's ordained of God. But he said, be careful and don't try to bunch up and start a movement. You need to walk with Christ, not with a movement. He said, say not a confederacy. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear alone. Nobody else, just him. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. God will take care of you. But he said, it will be a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. So what are we to do? Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. God is telling Isaiah, don't get involved with all that mess. He says, seal the law among my disciples. Neither the shepherds nor the wise men had fellowship with inordinate religion in Jerusalem. The shepherds they were talked to by the angels and said, let us go see this great thing. And they came on till they stood there in the presence of the king in baby form. They went out and told everybody about it. But they never did get involved with Jerusalem's religion. The wise men, they told Herod, they told up, they upset all of Jerusalem. We have seen his star. He's born the king, and we've come to worship him. And when they departed from Jerusalem, they never went back. God sent them a different way after they saw the young child in the house. So whether, dear soul, you are instructed by messengers like the shepherds were, pastors and teachers, and told us to see the glory of God in the highest, and that was peace on earth and goodwill towards you, and you became saved, and you went on till you saw the young child. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life, John 6:40. Or whether you were in a distant place, in a place of darkness, and the light of the glory of God shone and brought you to this place. They loved the light. They came to the light. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They upset everybody in Jerusalem. Whichever way your salvation was, and yet they went back home a different way. They never did go back to Jerusalem either, neither the shepherds nor the wise men ever affiliated with Jerusalem after that. Just bind up the law. Seal the testimony among my disciples. And I will, and okay, Isaiah, what are you going to do? Isaiah 8:17, after you've received all this instruction. And I will wait upon the Lord. There you go. What's a true Christian doing today in this chaos in our nation? They're waiting on the Lord. What is that doing that is renewing their strength? They shall rise up with wings as eagles and fly up into the heavenly places and enjoy the blessed fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and mind, even though chaos and anarchy reigns in their streets. God will take care of you. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. May I say that hideth his face from America. And I will look for him. It doesn't mean that you can't look for him even though he hides his face from them. Behold, okay, Isaiah, explain to us how you feel your relationship is with God. And I will wait upon the house of the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. It's just me and God's children. How do you get to be a children? They are born again. Dear soul, in this hour of chaos and turmoil, men's hearts failing them for fear, there is a peace, there is a comfort, there is that satisfaction of assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Soul rest, dear friend. And the confusion and the chaos that's dominating so many people in so many stratas and layers of historical, religious, whatever belief won't be yours. You will not have any confusion, for the Lord's not the author of confusion. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins or of her plagues. May God help us that we might be able to walk with God and wait on the Lord and see what he has for us. Because, listen, dear soul, he is soon returning to this earth. Read Matthew 25:14. when there has been a witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every nation, then shall the end come. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's what he said. All that look for me, all that look for him, shall he appear the second time without any more need to deal with sin unto full and complete salvation. It will all be over then. And how will it happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God have mercy. Thank you for your patience and your attention.